and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Romans 15, verse 4. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. Earlier in this service, we heard read a beautiful account of a time when the Syrian army had come against God's people, the Israelites, particularly Elisha. Now the Syrians many times had set out expeditions against the Israelites, but every time they did, they were always intercepted. And in verse 12, the king of Syria asked his soldiers, "Is one of you or some of you a servant of the king of Israel?" And he was told in verse 12 that Elisha the prophet hears the words that you speak in your bedroom. That there is a man, that there is a prophet. And he's the one that knows all. No, there's not a spy within the Syrian army. But this man of God, this prophet Elijah, hears every word that you speak, even the words in your bedroom. That's the reason the Israelites know what we're doing. That's the reason why they intercept us. And then the king of Syria said, "Well, go and get him." And they went to Dothan where Elisha was. And then Brother Harry read verses 14 through 17 of 2 Kings 6. "Therefore he," that is the king of Syria, "sent horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to his master, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And Elisha said to him, 'They that are with us are more than they that are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he beheld the mountains full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." I want to think with you for these moments today on the power to see. Notice this young servant. When he arose that morning and he looked out and he saw this army surrounding the city of Dothan, and he was scared with all of his being. And when he very quickly came to his master and told him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" The word of faith of Elisha was that they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Now that seems strange. There was an army here of hundreds and probably thousands. Horses and chariots that had come in during the night. And yet Elisha has the audacity to say that we are stronger than they. Just the two of us. Then he prayed that prayer and said, "Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see some things he doesn't see, and understand some things he doesn't understand." And so when the Lord opened his eyes, he caused him to see. Mountains full of horses and chariots of fire that encircle Elisha. I believe that we need today that same kind of faith, that same kind of commitment of Elisha centuries ago. We need to say today, Lord, open our eyes that we may see. Open our eyes to the opportunities, to the possibilities, to the capabilities of what we can become. Let's note first of all our allies. Sometimes every man is in Dothan. I don't literally mean that little city removed thousands of miles from us. But I think every one of us has our Dothan. Every one of us has times when it may seem that during the night, or it may seem suddenly, that an army or difficulties or problems move in on us. I'm talking about hard circumstances. Maybe it's business disappointment. Maybe it's a reemergence of an old sin. Maybe it's the reoccurrence of some former temptation. Maybe it's a time of sickness. Maybe it's a time of failing physical strength. Call it whatever you may. What we're suggesting is that there are times when the pressures and the difficulties and the problems are going to loom large. All of us have Dothan. All of us have times and moments when these things occur. And it just seems that the problem is insurmountable. It seems the difficulty is so great that when these times or these moments occur, and we wonder how we're just going to keep on keeping on. We wonder about survival. We wonder about our well-being. We need to use the agency of prayer in revealing to us the invisible. Over and over again in this text, and he prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray. Notice in verse 17 that Elisha is very emphatic. Over and over again he prays this great prayer, because he realizes that prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Thanks be to God for it. You remember with me in the Old Testament how when the strange language was written on the wall, Nebuchadnezzar could not interpret the message. Daniel prayed to God 3 times, and his companions joined him in prayer. Then in Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. The Lord revealed to Daniel that message, that interpretation. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Verses 19 and 22 of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel prayed, and the Lord revealed, because the Lord knows what is in the darkness. The Lord knows the secret things. You see, prayer and faith do for the mind and for our reason what the telescope does for our eyes. We can take the telescope and look through it, and some of them are so strong and powerful and great that they can reveal distant planets, that one can see Mars, Pluto, Jupiter, and some of the distant planets. We would never be able to see those things with our eyes alone. But with this telescope that's able to see and to reveal things that are thousands of miles away in space. That's really what prayer does. Prayer does this and even more so to the mind and the reason. It is the telescope that causes us to see and to comprehend things that otherwise we would not be able to see. So Elisha uses prayer and says, Lord, I can't calm the fears of this young man. He sees this huge army and he thinks that we're doomed. He thinks that destruction is imminent, that soon we're going to be destroyed. What are two people against an army? They said, Lord, I want you to cause him to see things. He doesn't yet see. I want you to cause him to understand what he doesn't understand. And the Lord did. You know, we like that servant so many times. We hear difficulties. And we live in a world of difficulty, a world of problems. This last week, we've been celebrating America's birthday. And I know that our country has a rich history. In so many, many ways. And I know that we can say thank God for that 209th birthday, when we remember those who fought in order that we might have our independence, when we realize that multitudes of others down through the course of history have paid the supreme price, we might continue to be a land of the free and the home of the brave. Even though we're not at war, we still face an army that seems to surround us as did that army surround Dothan long ago. In May, our nation spent more than twice the amount of money it took in. All of us are well aware of the federal deficit. We're aware that soon we'll climb up to a $2 trillion deficit at our current rate. And I'm sure that economists are alarmed that in May, for the first time since World War II, we spent more than twice what we took in. Oh, I know that there are those who will say, well, it doesn't really make any difference. We just owe it to each other. It really doesn't make any difference. And there are economists who would contend this. I don't think it's all that simple. I don't think it's all that easy. This is just one area. I'm sure that there are many, many others. And so we need, even as a nation, even as Americans, to be able to look at ourselves. We as Christians, as Ephesians 4:16, Paul said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We live in a time when evil is so rampant that so many things today are followed second nature. We see things today and we hear things today that radio, television, that probably would have been rather abhorrent some decades ago. I'm talking about laxness and looseness, where it seems that almost everything goes. We live in a time of tremendous moral decline in so many ways. And so I don't need to emphasize overly to you that the mountain is surrounded with armies of evil, of things that lurk, that sometimes make it frustrating and disappointing to us. But I believe that there can be a change, that we can have confidence as Christians, as children of God, even in face of the opposition and the difficulty. What is it that makes the difference between the hero and the coward? The great man and the small, the thinker and the clown, between the Pauls and the Neros? I suppose you could say there are hundreds of things. But I believe we can sum it up by saying that one who sees further, deeper, and more than other men. Michelangelo, one of the great sculptors of the world, could see a massive block of marble or granite, and in that he could see a David or a Moses, or some great work of art that could be chiseled out of that massive block. He could see something in it. And those of us, many of us, would see just granite or just marble, nothing more. One man may find more in his own house than another can find in a tour around the world. One person may find more in Warren County, in McMinnville, than another person would find who travels from coast to coast, east to west, north to south. And so what we're saying is it depends upon person, his relationship to God. Paul was far richer and happier than Caesar was. Hear him as he says in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowing yet always rejoicing, as owning nothing and yet possessing all things. Sorrowing and yet always rejoicing, as owning nothing. We don't know that he ever owned an inch of real estate. I suppose about all we know that he possessed was the clothing and the books. He mentions in one occasion some books. But he describes it here as saying, as owning nothing. Nothing that the world would look upon as ownership as well was not his. As owning nothing, and yet, he says, I possess all things. In Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You see, Elisha was a man of faith and vision. And Elisha wanted his servants to catch that glimpse and to realize vibrations. Some tell us the acutest human ear can hear is the rate of 38,000 vibrations per second. The vibrations caused by moving light goes as high as 765 billion per second. Job said in Job 38:7 that the morning stars sang together. the aberration of light, stars, 765 trillion per second. The unseen things are greater. Just as the unheard things are stronger and greater than that which we are able with our physical ears to hear, the unseen things, as Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The power to see. I hope that each one of us will see by faith and by commitment to God better tomorrow. Not the funeral of society. Not the problems of society entirely. Not the funeral of the church. But of a strong, zealous, vibrant, enthusiastic church. Because our eyes see something that others don't see. Others see the army and the chariots and the horses, the problems, the difficulties. And we, with a telescope of faith, see because God opens our eyes. Open the young man's eyes that he may see. And I hope and pray that all of us will see better tomorrow with the eye of faith. And that God, who's been with Elisha and Daniel and all the great men of old, will continue to be with us, to lead us and to guide us and to bless us. And we have the power by faith to see. If you're not a Christian today, you need to surrender your life to Jesus in obedience to His command, believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized,